I apologise in advance because I'm going to read passages that are quite long. The young ones particularly will be glad to know that I don't intend to speak for a long time. The first is in the book of Genesis and chapter 4. Genesis and chapter 4. We'll start to read from verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to Jehovah, and Abel, he also bought of the firstlings, the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. Jehovah looked upon Abel and on his offering, and upon Cain and on his offering he did not look. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Jehovah said to Cain, "Why art thou angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, will not thy countenance look up with confidence? And if thou doest not well, sin, or a sin offering, lieth at the door." Then in the Gospel according to Luke and chapter 15, it's a very well-known passage, but I'm afraid I'm going to read it all. Luke chapter 15, and we'll start from verse 11. And he said, "A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me.' And he divided to them what he was possessed of. After not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. When he had spent all, there arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he longed to fill his belly with the husks which the swine were eating, and no one gave to him. Coming to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine? I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he rose up and he went to his own father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his bondman, 'Bring out the best robe and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found.' And they began to make merry. And his elder son was in the field, and as coming up he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Having called one of the servants, he inquired what these things might be. He said to him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and well.' But he became angry and would not go in. His father went out and besought him, and he answering said to his father, 'Behold, so many years I serve thee, and never have I transgressed a commandment of thine. To me thou hast never given a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son, who has devoured thy substance with harlots, is come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf.' But he said to him, 'Child, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was right to make merry and rejoice, because this thy brother was dead and has come to life again, was lost, has been found.'" Finally, in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, again, another well-known passage. Begin reading at verse 36. One of the Pharisees begged him that he would eat with him. Entering into the house of the Pharisee, he took his place at table. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, and knew that he was sitting at meat in the house of the Pharisee, having taken an alabaster box of myrrh, standing at his feet behind him, weeping, began to wash his feet with tears. And she wiped them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the myrrh. The Pharisees who had invited him, seeing it, spoke with himself, saying, "This person, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what the woman is who touches him, for she is a sinner." Jesus answering, said to him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee." He says, "Teacher, say it." There were two debtors of a certain creditor. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. But as they had nothing to pay, he forgave both of them their debt. Say, which of them therefore will love him the most? Simon answering said, "I suppose he to whom he forgave the most." And he said to him, "Thou hast rightly judged." Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, thou gavest me not water on my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. Thou gavest me not a kiss, but she, from the time I came in, has not ceased kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but she has anointed my feet with myrrh. For which cause I say to thee, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. But he to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that were with them at table began to say within themselves, "Who is this who forgives also sins?" He said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." You will notice that each of these three passages contrasts two people. And each of these people in each of these passages represent one of two ways. First passage, we get Cain and Abel, who seem to instinctively recognise that there is something that is due to God. So Abel brings along the best efforts that he has been able to produce from the ground that has previously been cursed and offers them to God. And he becomes angry when his brother brings along the firstlings of the flock and offers that to God. And it's fat, should I say. God speaks to him. And he says, "Why is thy countenance fallen? Why art thou angry, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, will not thy countenance look up with confidence? If thou doest not well, sin," or as I said, the note refers to a sin offering, "lieth at the door." Dear friend, tonight, how are you going to approach God? Are you going to bring to God the best of your own efforts? Dear friend, that's a solemn way to approach God, when even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For you know, dear friend, each and every single one of us, the preacher included, are sinners before a holy and righteous God. There is nothing at all of our own that we can bring that will satisfy God's righteousness. But dear friend, the gospel preaching goes out tonight, because as was said to Cain, sin offering lieth at the door. God has provided a way where you might righteously approach him. But you know, just as Cain would have had to turn round to see it, every single one of us needs to turn round. That's why I read of those two men in Luke 15, you know. I didn't really want to go too much into the detail of the story itself, but to speak of the two men and the two different approaches. But I read the story, the whole story, because it helps us to get an understanding. And you know, there was this man who spoke to his father. And you know, he was not at that time even entitled to his inheritance. But the father divided it anyway. He probably had some idea what might happen. He probably had some idea what was in his heart. Scripture doesn't say, and I don't want to go before what Scripture says. But clearly, what was in the younger son's heart was already there, because it was after not many days he went away. There dissipated his property, living in debauchery. Yes, he was having a good time. Long way from the father's house, not even giving it a thought, undoubtedly. But there came a time when his property ran out. There came a time when there was famine in the land. There came a time when he longed to fill his belly with the husks that the swine were eating. I don't know if any of you have ever driven past a pig farm. There's a number of them in Sussex. But I tell you, when you see the troughs that the pigs feed on, it's very appetizing. But this man was longing to fill his belly with the husks which the swine were eating. What a pitiful state for a human being to be in. But if, friend, that's really like any one of us before a holy and righteous God. Because we're all lost and undone in sin. You know, you might want to compare yourself to your neighbour and say, well, I'm not as bad as a sinner as he is. Or I'm not as bad as that person down the road. Or what about those people in the prison? I'm not as bad as them. No, you may well not be as bad as them. But if, friend, when you compare yourself to the righteousness that God requires, you find that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Dear friend, that is the words of scriptures. That is not my words. That is the words of the Holy Scripture. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes everyone who sits in this room tonight. It includes everyone who walks upon the face of the earth tonight. As I said, there's a way out. And the beauty of it is that the Father's eye is still upon his lost, poor, lost son. This man comes to himself. He says, I have sinned against heaven. I will say to my Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Well, dear friend, when you decide to turn back to God, as I surely hope you do, before this day is out, you may well have to come to a pitiful state before you do it. But you may well make up a little speech that you're going to say. But you know, the only words this man got out when he met his father was, Father, I have sinned against heaven. And before thee, I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Dear friend, if you will return to God in repentance, God is willing and able to bless you. What did he say? He said, bring out the best robe and clothe him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Oh, dear friend, the sin offering was available for this poor man who turned back in repentance. Like any sinner who turns back to God in repentance, the sin offering is there. They can be clothed in the best robe. What does that speak to us of? It speaks to us of the righteousness that can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who became the sin offering. He is the one who went to Calvary's cross, dear friend. He is the one who hung upon that cross, put there by wicked hands, held there by nails, but dear friend, held there by his love for you and I. For when men poured those mockings and scornings upon him and said, save thyself, if thou be the Christ, come down, think of those insults they threw upon him. Could he have come down? In his own power he could have come down anyway. And yet it says he could have called on 12 legions of angels too, to help him if it was necessary. It wasn't necessary. But dear friend, he couldn't come down either. Because had he come down from that cross, there would have been no sin offering. There would have been no blessing that could be offered to you and to me. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect sinless Lamb of God, was made a sin offering on our account. He hung there. He not only bore the worst, the very worst that men could do to him. He bore, dear friends, in 3 hours of darkness, the actual question of sin. 3 hours of darkness. Middle of the day, the sun was turned to darkness. There was not an eye that could see that time when my Lord and Saviour was forsaken of his God and Father. Suffice to say, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Those were the words that went out of his mouth at the end of those 3 hours. One who had known 33 and a half years of perfect, intimate communion with his God and Father. Never a single moment had passed up until that time when he had not known that perfect communion. But those 3 hours of darkness, dear friend, the Lord Jesus bore sin's penalty so dread, and he bore it on your account and mine, if you will come in repentance and put your faith and trust in him. He went into death. Loving hands took him down from the cross and put him in the tomb. But dear friend, 3 days later, he was raised again. He was raised again from among the dead, and now seated at the Father's right hand, awaiting that time when he can come to call his own to be with himself. Are you waiting that call, dear friend? I am, and I trust you are too. But you know, that is the way in which this Father could receive the repentant son back. He could clothe him in the righteousness of Christ. Dear friend, the best robe, the ring, the eternal love of God, and the sandals on his feet, you know. He was made suitable, made fit to enter into the Father's house. But he also, there was another man here. Says he was a man, here was a man who was filled with his self-righteousness. So many years I serve thee, and never have I transgressed a commandment of thine. And to me thou hast never given a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. Oh, dear friend, he sadly, he could not enter in because he was not repentant. Full of his self-righteousness, here we have a man who has title to everything and possession of nothing. And another man who had title to nothing and possession of everything. Dear friend, the younger son, he had squandered his title, but you know, he came in to enjoy the Father's house through the act of repentance and faith. This man who thought he could get in on his own account, he had title to everything and possession of nothing. A solemn thing, he had to remain outside. Wasn't the Father's will that he remained outside? He besought him to come in, but he would not go in. The only way in was by way of repentance. Same thing in the gospel preaching, dear friend. If you are to receive the blessing that is offered in the gospel preaching, you must come by way of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way that is offered, you know. No other way. You might bring the best of what you can do, but it's not good enough, dear friend. The sin offering is offered by God on a righteous basis. Dear friend, there is only one way, and that is through repentance and faith. in our Lord Jesus Christ. Read about these other two people, because when we come to know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, what value do we put upon him, you know? It's interesting that the Lord Jesus speaks to Simon. Yes, it's interesting too that Simon doesn't actually utter these words verbally. It says he spoke within himself. But you know, the Lord Jesus knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. That in itself is a solemn thing for each one of us to take account of. And the Lord Jesus spoke to Simon, and he gives what is apparently a simple question. And Simon gives what he thinks is the right answer. But what he hears really should have cut him to the core. You know, this woman, she knew she was a sinner, but she valued the Lord Jesus Christ. It would suggest that in anointing his feet, she knew where those feet were going to take him. Whatever, anyway, she had a real, true appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Simon, he had a valuation of the Lord Jesus Christ too, but it was a different sort of valuation. It was a valuation like he was going to be a sort of social accessory. So, dear friend, you have benefited from trusting in the Saviour, from knowing that your sins are forgiven. Are you going to make Jesus an accessory to your life? Are you going to maybe flag him up and say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, you know, I know these things and I'm a Christian? Or are you going to subject yourself to him and make him Lord and Christ? You know, lovely thing to come under the subjection of the Saviour. Many of us perhaps feel we make a poor show of it, really. But you know, we had in our hymn about the Holy Spirit too. He'll give to fill thy heart with joy, to fill thy life with power divine, thy lips with praise employ. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus, the one who laid down his life in your stead, the one who would love to be your Saviour, but dear friend, he would love to be your Lord and Master too. Says elsewhere, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear friend, it's not onerous. He's not an onerous master like the master of sin. He's a living Saviour. He would love to have you for himself. He would love you to surrender yourself to him. This woman surrendered herself to him. And what are his final words to him? Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. I love that, you know. Tell you about another man who came to Jesus, owned him as his Lord. Was Thomas, you know. Thomas. After the Lord Jesus had risen, he came in and made himself known amongst his disciples. And Thomas wasn't there. And they told him about it, and he wouldn't believe it. He said, unless I put my finger in the holes of the nails and my hand into his side, I will not believe. I think where it records it, I think it says it's emphatic. I will not believe. 8 days later, you know, the Lord Jesus in his grace showed himself again to his disciples as Thomas was there. And the Lord Jesus knew what Thomas had said. And he said, come and put your finger into my hands. Put your hand into my side. I don't think Thomas ever actually did it. Brought out the response, my Lord and my God. The Lord Jesus would love you to come to him tonight. Accept him as your Saviour. Yes, indeed, that's the first thing, to accept him as your Saviour. He died for you. He's borne the penalty of your sin, dear friend. But he would love to be your Lord and Master too. Make him so tonight, ere this day should close. For we know not how much longer any one of us has got, you know. Life is finite, as we're reminded, on a daily basis at the present time. No one knows how long we have. Once there was a story told of, I believe it was a true story of someone who became a little troubled as to their soul and went to a minister, and said, "How long before I die do I need to make my peace with God?" And he said, "Oh, it only takes a few minutes. Not very long at all." And the man said, "Oh, well, thank you for that." Turned away and walked towards the door. And before he got to the door, the minister said to him, "One moment. When are you going to die? Dear friend, don't put the day off. Tomorrow's sun may never rise upon thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh, then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not tonight?" Dear friend, the gospel goes out that we might be saved. It goes out that we might make the Lord Jesus Christ our living Saviour. It goes out that we might be engaged in his praise for the remainder of our time here and for all eternity. Won't you make him your Saviour tonight, for his name's sake?